The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hey, we're back on Get Up. Before we start a new hour, as Dominique Foxworth has joined us in our studio for the hour, Nick, I just wanted to see what happened here. So this is Mekhi Becton practice. He's pancaking his coach. That looked like Canty and you yesterday here in the studio.
Yeah, and I apologize to Chris for knocking him down like that yesterday.
Wow, there we go, there we go.
Should I know you're not allowed to touch the quarterback at practice. Are you allowed to pancake the coach?
Why not?
I mean, how else are you going to be able to get after the coach, Greeny?
I know.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, take a shot when he gives it to you.
As a Jet fan, we need to see him do that in games a little bit more, but we will see where that winds up going from there. Okay. Good fun to be had, and this man is here to have it with us. Dominique Foxworth on a day filled with some fun news and some not-so-fun news. We'll get to it all as we come to you live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We got a full squad. Let's roll it, Chrissy. Let's get this thing started. It is time to get up with the NFL. Making its move. We'll tell you why you should not expect to see Deshaun Watson on the field at all this coming season. Then, tampering and Tua drama in South Florida. We'll give you one move the Dolphins should absolutely be ready to make right now. And then, Zeke. He wants a gold jacket. He wants a Super Bowl ring. Is this year his last chance to earn either one in Big D? Those are the questions. Here come the answers as we get up with you, starting right now. Top story of the day, of course, the National Football League has appealed the 6-game suspension for Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, seeking a tougher penalty for violating the league's personal conduct policy in the wake of disciplinary officer Sue L. Robinson's ruling that he would initially be suspended just the 6 games and there'd be no fine. So we have Adam Schefter with us this morning, which is obviously excellent. So Schefter, a lot of people see that news yesterday. They're just joining us now and they don't fully understand all the machinations. What are the most important things the fans should understand right now about where this is and where it's heading?
Greeny, when the NFL makes the decision to appeal this and to send it to either Roger Goodell or his designee on appeal, the NFL makes the decision that it wants Deshaun Watson off the field, not just for 2 more games, not just for 4 more games, but indefinitely. And that there's the real chance that Deshaun Watson, if the NFL has its way, will not play football at all in 2022. That the NFL will go after some of the money that Deshaun Watson circumvented in the $230 million fully guaranteed contract that he wisely executed, that the team allowed him to execute when he was traded to the Cleveland Browns, and that the NFL will seek to get Watson treatment for acts that the judge on Monday ruled egregious and predatory. And so there you see what the NFL wants on its appeal. But it sends a loud message that it's not going to stand for the type of behavior that it believes that Deshaun Watson engaged in. The NFLPA, on the other hand, says, well, we jointly appointed an arbitration officer here to make a ruling. She was supposed to be non-objective and non-partial to either side. And now the NFL, in the eyes of the NFLPA, is undermining her in her first big decision, a retired former federal judge. And the NFLPA doesn't believe that that is fair, doesn't believe, as the judge noted on Monday, that notice was given of the NFL changing the rules. And so the NFLPA is defending Deshaun Watson, not what he did per se, but of course the process by which the NFL is going out and doling out justice. And make no mistake about it, the NFL right now, in appealing this decision, is looking once again to administer its own form of justice to an act that the NFL wants to see wiped out of the NFL.
I want to bring the group in on that thought. And, Schefter, you stay close by because I have a lot more questions for you. And Chris Canty played in the league a long time. Mike Tannenbaum teaches a class on law at Columbia. So great understanding. But Dominique, you were the president of the NFL Players Association. I want to go to what Schefter just said. It is part of the collectively bargained process that regardless of the independent arbitrator, in this case Sue L. Robinson's decision, that an appeal ultimately can be filed by either side and go directly to the commissioner or his designee.
Right.
So that's part of the process. This isn't out of the realm of that. So On what grounds would the NFLPA be now suggesting it's unfair?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the grounds that they use to suggest it's unfair is not because it's not in the CBA. It's because when you are negotiating, it's about power and leverage. I'm sure that the NFLPA did not want to accept these provisions, but they felt like they had to, given the circumstances. They can try to set some precedent with this new situation, which is what they tried to do, where Sue L. Robinson or whoever the independent arbiter is going to be, where their ruling is law, and we kind of abide by that going forward. That feels fairer, and this is the worst part about working in a union, and part of the reason why I'm on TV now and I no longer wanted to work in unions, is because you end up in these situations defending the rights and the fairness of the process and not necessarily the person. But in this case, it's inevitable that you have to defend a person who may have been engaged in things that you find abhorrent. So, like, that's what you have to keep reminding yourself when you work in a union or your leader union. It's like, this is about defending the process. It's like due process or reading somewhere their Miranda rights. As a defense attorney or someone in the legal world, you understand that you want to keep these rules so that we are not reacting emotionally, which it does feel like. I think that's the crux of the grounds that the union has to stand on, is Roger Goodell heard how we all reacted to the ruling of six games, and now he is going to react emotionally and respond to the public outcry, which is not a bad thing in this case, but there will be cases in the future where the public outcry is wrong and the player will get railroaded because Roger Goodell's number one interest is not in necessarily making sure justice is served. His number one interest is protecting the image of the league so that partners will feel comfortable with their logo next to the NFL. So he could care less, frankly, about, and I'm not saying that it's not at the top of, or it's not on the list at all. It's on the list, but the top of the list is to protect the shield. And they want the shield to be as pristine as possible. And if it means running people out of the league who deserve to be run out, that's fine. If it also means running people out of the league who don't deserve to be run out, that's the part that the union, I think, fears going forward in the future.
All right, so let me bring Mike Tannenbaum in on that. You are a lawyer and you teach a class in law. So if they're going to fight this, the NFL has issued its appeal. The overwhelming expectation is that the NFLPA is going to go to court to fight this. How will they go about that? And what are the chances that they are successful in a way that Deshaun Watson winds up on the field this year?
I don't think he winds up on the field this year because presumably the league and the commissioner is going to suspend him indefinitely for the year. The union, in all likelihood, will file a lawsuit as early as today or in the coming days. They're going to do something called forum shop, which is they're going to look for the best federal judge, in their opinion, to get an injunction. That could be the Atlanta, Georgia area. That could be in Cleveland, Ohio. We saw Tom Brady have success initially in Boston when he tried to enjoin the league from suspending him. So that's probably going to be the union's next step, is they'll go through this appeal process with the league. I'm sure they're anticipating a full year suspension, and they will go to federal district court and seek an injunction. But if I was the Browns, or if I was counseling Deshaun Watson, I would also tell him that the likelihood of having it ultimately overturned in court is very low, because courts traditionally are reticent to get involved with a collectively bargained relationship.
For football fans out there who might be trying to follow all this and, A, don't have legal backgrounds, and, B, don't want to hear about all the legalese, the likeliest scenario here, overwhelmingly, is that Deshaun Watson does not play this year. It's not inconceivable that it could go a different direction, but that does feel like the likeliest scenario. And I know, Chris Canty, there is another element of this that has, the second day in a row you and I have been together, that to some degree sticks in your craw.
Yeah, the hypocrisy and the double standards that we're talking about when the NFL applies the personal conduct policy, because we see them heavy-handed when it comes to players and other league employees, but we don't see them using the same degree of punishment when it comes to owners. And Greeny, we've had three owners recently to find themselves in situations through action or inaction that compromise the welfare of women, and yet the NFL doesn't do anything, or what they do amounts to a slap on the wrist. Specifically with the Washington Commanders and Daniel Snyder, who had a decades-long culture within his organization of misogyny and sexual harassment, not to mention groping a former employee. And he hadn't been punished for the last point with Tiffany Johnston. So all I'm simply saying is, if we're establishing this new precedent, then great. It's about time that the NFL does it. But Roger Goodell and the NFL owners need to be held accountable as well for applying that same standard to the owners. It's written in plain language in the personal conduct policy. Owners are to be held to a higher standard than anyone else in the NFL.
When are they going to stop looking at, when are they going to start living up to that?
This speaks clearly to the double standard that exists. So if you have a neutral arbiter to make the decision, but the final decision lies with Roger Goodell, fundamentally the process hasn't changed. But in the other situation, what we're asking is Roger Goodell to pass punishment on to his employer. He works for the owners. So, like, if we're talking about, and I don't want to get away from Deshaun Watson. I feel like we all feel good about the fact that they are going to appeal this and that he's going to get a punishment that is more severe. I'm not looking to yes and this or but that. You know, I'm not trying to misdirect us. So that's fine. That's done and that's out there. But now we should move on to make sure that justice is administered fairly across the board, because I do think that part of the point of the punishment is to deter other people's actions. If he's out for a year, that's going to clearly send a message to deter the actions for other people. If you don't, if you slap these other owners on the wrist, it does not deter the action. And we have to understand that fundamentally, Roger Goodell works for the owners. And the other owners in this process are not interested in creating a paradigm where owners can be called to the carpet in the same way that players can be called to the carpet. So again, we need to focus on making sure that Deshaun Watson gets a penalty that we are comfortable with. But we also need to be clear-eyed about the bias that exists in the system. Mm. And just because the players negotiated it does not mean that it's fair.
Shefty, finish it up for us here. What are the pieces of this that we're missing?
Well, to tie it together, when the judge issued her opinion on Monday, on page 15 of that ruling, she noted the fact that the NFLPA argued that owners were not held to the same standard of conduct, that basically, there were offenses that had been committed that players were punished more severely for. And I can tell you that if and when the NFLPA does take this to court, that will be a part of the arguments on behalf of Watson, that they will bring in other organizations and the behavior of other owners. And as one source described to me yesterday, once the NFL appealed this decision, in his opinion, this is going to turn out to be a lose-lose for all. And we'll see how it all unfolds.
And so as we wait and see what will happen here, there is still the issue of the football piece of this, which is to say the Cleveland Browns are a football team that now is in some degree of limbo. And Mike Tannenbaum, I just wanted to finish it with this for the football fans out there. If you were running the Cleveland Browns organization right now, what's the move you would make right this minute?
I would call San Francisco and trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, because I got to expect Deshaun Watson to be out for the full season. And because of that, chasing the Cincinnati Bengals, amongst others, in the AFC North with this great football team you have, while Jacoby Brissett has played good in spurts, he is not as good as Jimmy Garoppolo. So I would do everything within reason to try to get that deal done ASAP based on what the NFL did yesterday.
Okay, so there are a lot of different elements to this. We'll come back to Jimmy G a little later in this hour and get Shefty's insight as to where the 49ers are regarding him. In the meantime, we'll take a short break on this. We'll continue to follow the story wherever it leads, but we go back on the field coming up next. Zeke wants a gold jacket. He wants a Super Bowl ring. Is this his last chance to earn either of those as a member of the Cowboys? Plus, is Trey Lance suddenly a sneaky MVP candidate? Can the new 49ers quarterback take them all the way to the Super Bowl? The answers may surprise you when they're next as we get up with you on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back. Hey, Dominic, football players are so silly. The Raiders crammed four players inside a small Uber. Devontae Adams was not pleased with Hunter Renfrow for scheduling the ride. What do you think?
I don't think it's silly. It's cheap. Hunter, you are a baller. You deserve it. I go black, and I don't got money like he got. So why are you going to? That is unacceptable. I feel like that car probably could only go like 35 miles an hour with all
the bodies. Man, listen, man, Hunter Renfrow understands it's not what you make, it's what you keep. Hold on to all them coins, bro.
Oh, no, it's about the experience that you have in life, and I will pay whatever I have to pay to not be in no stinky Uber with them.
All right, in the meantime, it is the game that is sweeping the nation. It's can he or can't he with the Raiders and Jaguars playing tonight in the Hall of Fame game. Hey, Chris, Devontae Adams will have a better season with Derek Carr than he had last year with Aaron Rodgers. Can he or can't he?
Greeny, I'm going to say he can, and I know 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns is a lofty bar to clear, but listen, Derek Carr and Devontae Adams have chemistry. That's his former college quarterback. The two throw together in the offseason since they've come into the National Football League. And look at the supporting cast around Devontae Adams. Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, Josh Jacobs. It's significantly better than what he had around him in Green Bay, which means more opportunities, more targets.
Again, Raiders, Jaguars tonight. Will Trevor Lawrence, will lead the Jaguars to a winning record this year? Can he or can't he?
No, he can. It's not going to happen for him, even though he does have an adult in the room as the head coach in having Doug Peterson. But I just look at the schedule for the Jacksonville Jaguars outside of the division having dates with the Baltimore Ravens, the entire AFC West, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Philadelphia Eagles. I just don't see them being able to have a winning record.
All right, one more. Trey Lance will lead the 49ers to the Super Bowl. Can he or can't he?
Greeny, I'm going to say he can, and we've seen quarterbacks in recent memory in the second season lead their teams to the Super Bowl. We saw it with Pat Mahomes. We saw it with Joe Burrow. I think Trey Lance could be that next guy in line just because of how strong the supporting cast around him is. You're talking about having a top five defense and a top 10 offense, being supported by a really strong run game and one of the best play callers in the National Football League. The best path to the playoffs is winning your division. Kyle Shanahan owned Sean McVay the last 3 years. They've won 6 of the 7 matchups. So, yes, Trey Lance can get it done.
Well, and speaking of that, I've got this sneaky big news from Max Meyer, who is the editorial content writer at Caesars Sports. He writes, Trey Lance has received the fourth most tickets to win NFL MVP behind only Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and Derek Carr. Lance opened at 200-1. He's currently at 50-1. That is remarkable to me. And I understand sometimes this is the time of year people will just throw something on a long shot. I mean, I get that that doesn't necessarily mean what you might be inclined to think it means. But Shefty's got a wry smile. This is 2 days in a row, Shefty. I got people on this show telling me Trey Lance and the 49ers are going to set the NFL on fire this year. What do you think, Shefty?
I think that that's asking and expecting an awful lot. Anything's always possible in the NFL, and Trey Lance, I think, has a very bright future. To think that he's going to come in this year, in his first full year in the NFL, and overtake players like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, on and on, Lamar Jackson. That is hard to imagine for a quarterback who played so little football in college, who sat out a year during the pandemic, who didn't play a lot last year, who has so much growing to do in that position. To think that he's going to be better this season than all those quarterbacks is hard for me to process. If it happens, I would be really surprised. But in the NFL, that's what makes it so interesting. There are always surprises.
I remind everyone who did follow this, his college in 2020, they didn't play a season because there was no season during COVID. They scheduled literally one game so he would have a game to play. So that's the only game he played that last year before coming to the National Football League. Dominic, how about it? 2 days in a row, I'm getting a lot of Trey Lance Niners love here.
Yeah, I'm on board with that love. And I would say that Adam's right. It's a long shot. He has to be better than all – I guess he doesn't have to be better than all of those quarterbacks because MVP is a narrative award. So if the storyline for him is he comes out and blows up in the first couple of weeks, that can ride through the season, and it's hard for me to look at the situation out there and pick one reason why he can't do it. Like, there is nothing out there. There's nothing out there that he wants. There's nothing out there that he needs that he doesn't have, from coaching all the way down to the best tackle in the game and a great defense. So it is unlikely, but it seems like a smart bet to put out there because the return will be so high.
For those who haven't seen him, and I'm guessing that's most people based on where he went to college and the fact that he didn't play last year, people will compare him. The comparable is Josh Allen. Like, he comes in that kind of big, that strong, that talented, but that level of raw, maybe even more so. We saw Allen has become maybe the best quarterback in the whole league or right up there, but it took some time with that development. We'll see. What do you think of it, Mike Tannenbaum?
I think it's going to take time. He's only thrown 389 passes, and I am super intrigued by him long-term for the reasons you just stated. But Coach Parcells always had a great axiom, which is quarterbacks should improve every 10 games they've played. So I think by the end of the season, we're going to see some of these natural gifts that he's had manifest themselves. But it is going to be a massive learning curve. And just in the NFC, just for them to make any noise in the playoffs between Stafford, Brady, and Rodgers, I just don't think they go very far this year, but love him long term.
And you know what? Let me go back quickly to Shefty, if I can, because since we're on San Francisco, we ended our previous conversation with Mike Tannenbaum saying the Browns, now facing the overwhelming uncertainty with Deshaun Watson, should call San Francisco and inquire about Jimmy Garoppolo. We haven't really heard much about the Jimmy Z situation lately. Shefty, what is the latest as far as his next stop?
Greeny, he's back out on the field. He's been cleared to practice. The 49ers are not going to put him in that setting because right now, as much as anything else, he is an asset. And he is an asset in the event that any team, be it Cleveland or anyone else, decides that it wants to trade for a quarterback. And I think San Francisco right now is being patient and waiting to see if anybody has any interest. At some point in time, the two sides will move on from each other, one way or another. Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be in San Francisco this season, as the 49ers have talked about to expect. Nobody thinks that's going to happen. The question is, where is he going, when's he going, and how's he getting there? And again, if a team like Cleveland is uncomfortable with the Deshaun Watson situation as it currently stands, and it's looking more likely than not that he could be out for the year, then maybe they make a play for Jimmy Garoppolo. If not them, maybe somebody else. And if not, then the 49ers at some point in time will move on from him, but they're holding on to him now as an asset.
All right, we will see where that goes. We'll have much more football as we continue, but we have this. I'm getting this word literally as we speak from Russia. This is a developing story. Russian prosecutors have asked a court outside of Moscow to sentence Brittany Griner to 9.5 years in prison on cannabis possession charges. The prosecutor's request was made during closing arguments today in Griner's trial. Griner was arrested 6 months ago at a Moscow airport in a case that has reached the highest levels of U.S.-Russia diplomacy. Griner has acknowledged having vape cartridges with cannabis oil in her luggage. Today, she apologized to her family and said she had no intent to break the law. A verdict in this trial is expected sometime today. We will obviously be following these very frightening developments overseas for you. Again, a verdict is expected in the Brittany Griner trial in Russia sometime today. All right, I will pause on that thought. We'll come back to the NFL as we go in a moment. There's all this news off the field involving the Dolphins and a tampering scandal. They clearly wanted Tom Brady. What does that mean for their current quarterback? We will answer that question. And then to Dallas we will go. Zeke wants to be a Hall of Famer. Does he have to play like one for the Cowboys to have a chance? We'll answer those questions as we roll on. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Oh, for the first time in a long time, we do it in person. Answer the question. I've got a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions, and Dominique Foxworth, whether he's ready or not, has got to answer them. Here we go. Number one, who is more likely to win MVP this year having lost their big-time receiver, Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes?
I think it's probably Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers won 2 years in a row. I think it's unlikely that he's going to do it 3 years in a row. And he was much more dependent on Devontae than I feel like Mahomes was on Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill really makes things easy for you, but you still have a guy like Travis Kelce out there who is just as impactful. And I understand that he's going to be in a position that I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be in a tougher spot there without his number one target.
You know what's interesting is that right now watching this, Aaron Rodgers is thinking, see, they doubt me. He said he just heard Dominique Foxworth say, Aaron Rodgers is going to stink this year. That's what he heard. All right, next. Which team is the biggest sleeper that might make some noise this season that no one's talking about?
All right, I'm thinking the Giants. I'm rolling this out there. If you look at that roster, it's a lot better than you think. And they were under the Joe Judge administration before, which Joe Judge was a special teams coordinator, which is not a bad kind of prereq to be a head coach, like Harbaugh was that. But it didn't seem like they had the offense figured out. But now they have two really good tackles. They have talent on defense. And they also have Wink Martindale, who his philosophy is very simple. Get after their ass. It's like that's every down, he is going to blitz the hell out of everybody. I like that as a philosophy, and I think this team could be better with a healthy Saquon, some talent on the outside. I think this team is going to surprise
Hold on. So Canty, who hosts the national talk show, lives here in New York, played for the Giants. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because Dominic is drinking the blue Kool-Aid. He's as optimistic as I've heard anyone about the New York Giants this season. And listen, I'm with you, Dominic. I want nothing but good things for that franchise. But even I don't think they're going to have a surprise season, bro. You're talking about them being in the cellar of the NFC East.
Don't be scared. It said sleepers. I'm picking a sleeper. I understand that it's not likely, but if you look at that roster, and Daniel Jones
Dominique, they don't like their quarterback, and their running back can't stay healthy.
Daniel Jones is not terrible, is the thing. Like, we talk about Daniel Jones like he's awful. Daniel Jones
50 touchdowns to 49 turnovers in his first 3 years.
Okay, that has nothing to do with what's around him. That has nothing to do with the coaching staff. That has nothing to do with anything else. If you watch Daniel Jones play, he's a good player, a dual threat quarterback. He doesn't get credit for it necessarily because he tripped and because he's white and people see white quarterbacks.
Dom, I'm not messing with you because they're not gonna let me come over there on Friday for the Fan Fest event that I'm supposed to be at. I'm not messing with you.
Come on over here then. I got nothing to lose.
I'm not messing with you.
If I get a lucky shot, then I'm a champ. If you lose, so I got nothing to lose. I'm down for this fight.
Let the record show that Dominique Foxworth just defended his pick of the Giants by saying their quarterback is not terrible. Those were the words that just came out
He's
of your
good.
Mouth. All right, one more. In the same division, the Cowboys have lost another wide receiver to injury, James Washington. He's got a foot out 6 to 10 weeks. Is the Cowboys' offense in trouble? Do they need to do something?
I think they do need to address this in free agency if they can. They're going to get Gallup back early in the season, I think after week one, which is nice. But what I'm talking about, if you have Gallup and you have CeeDee Lamb, yeah, and then you have Dalton Schultz, that's enough. But that's not what's going to happen this year. Someone else is going to go down at some point. I hate to say it, but that's how football works. So with the depth that they have at, or the lack of depth that they have at the position right now, they're really going to be hamstrung if they enter this season without another viable starting level wide receiver, which I'm not sure that they have on the roster. And maybe people who follow their camp know better than I and see something on that roster that I don't see. But right now, you're going to need some other threat opposite CeeDee Lamb, in my view.
To this point, they've suggested that they're not going to make any kind of move or that they don't feel urgency to make some kind of move. But you're not alone in thinking they probably should. The name Odell Beckham comes up all the time, but he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl in February, so he won't be ready for a while. In the meantime, speaking of the Cowboys,
We had this quote from Ezekiel Elliott in The Athletic yesterday. He said, when he was talking about his goals, he said, obviously a goal is winning a Super Bowl and getting a gold jacket. There's not many guys with gold jackets that didn't rush for 10,000 yards. He's got a little ways to go before he gets to 10,000 yards, puts himself in Hall of Fame position, and candidly, with no guaranteed money on his contract after this season, many people wonder, is this going to be it for Zeke in Dallas? So the question is, can he play like a Hall of Fame running back, Chris Canty? Is that something you think he can recapture after a career arc that has headed in the wrong direction the last few years?
No, he can't do it, G. I just don't see it happening. You're talking about Ezekiel Elliott only having 9 broken tackles and having over 300 touches. That's just not good enough by any standard in the National Football League. And you look at Tony Pollard, conversely, who had 107 less touches, having only 2 fewer broken tackles. I mean, last year, the Dallas Cowboys, as a run game, only had 5 teams that had fewer broken tackles on rushing attempts. Conversely, their offensive line only had 5 units that had a better run block win rate. So what does that tell you? The running backs for the Dallas Cowboys aren't getting the mileage that they should out of the run game, and that directly speaks to the fall off that we've seen from Ezekiel Elliott. I don't think he can recapture that form where he was a rushing champ.
So quickly, Nick.
You statted me down right there.
But no lies told, though, bro.
But so quickly, because we started this conversation with you, and I'll get to Mike and Shefty in a second here. But you're worried about the receiving core, and we think that Ezekiel Elliott has lost a step. And the offensive line, they have some good players there, but it's not what it was 5 years ago. So how worried are we about it? What is this Cowboys offense around your guy, Dak Prescott, going to be?
And combined with the questions around the head coach, if I'm picking that division right now, I'm not picking the Cowboys. This could be a disappointing season for them, which I guess is par for the course. But I do think that if it's going to be a successful season, it's going to be on Dak. Dak transcending consistently throughout the course of the season, which very few quarterbacks can do. We haven't seen him do that. Just be the cold-blooded guy that he is on occasion. He has to do that every single week, which there's like 3 quarterbacks in the league that can do that. We haven't seen Dak do that yet. We'll see if he can pull it off this year.
Well, Mike Tannenbaum, as I bring you and Shefty back into the conversation, I've had a lot of people up here picking the Eagles to win this division all week long, and Neek just did it, and Canty just did it. He loves the Giants. But because he's nuts, but that's neither here nor there. Tannenbaum, you're still riding that Cowboys train, and Dak is the reason why, right?
Absolutely, and I'm riding it in August, September, all the way to December. He is by far the best and most consistent quarterback in this division, and that ultimately will be the difference. They try to fortify the offensive line. I think they should go out and sign Odell Beckham for a lot of the reasons that Neek mentioned, that they are really thin at the skill player position. But Tony Pollard's a great player. I think CeeDee Lamb will emerge. And they have one of the best defensive players on the planet in Micah Parsons. So because of Dak Prescott and some of these other young players they have, I still think they're better than the Eagles.
Let me get Shefty in here. Shefty, what are the things you're hearing around the league about a team that everyone's always talking about in Dallas?
Well, I think a few things are worth pointing out here, Greeny. First and foremost, the Cowboys do want to make their running game and Ezekiel Elliott the focus of their offense. They are a bit shorthanded at wide receiver right now. We saw Amari Cooper be traded to Cleveland. Cedric Wilson signed with Miami. James Washington get hurt early in camp. They're going to have to rely on some young wide receivers right now like Jalen Tolbert to get some production for this offense. There are the questions about Ezekiel Elliott that are out there. His numbers and production have declined each year. And if you talk to coaches around the league, there are those who do think that this team, this offense, is more dangerous with Tony Pollard at running back, and they would rather face Ezekiel Elliott than Tony Pollard. Ezekiel Elliott has no more guaranteed money on his contract. So we know that every season is important for the Dallas Cowboys, but this is a critical season for Ezekiel Elliott and his future in Dallas, because right now it's on the line there, and they have to figure out a way to try to get it done. But they do want to make him and the running game the focus there in Dallas.
All right, so we'll see what they do. In the meantime, I just want to show everyone the dedication of the team, the staff of this show. So earlier, just a few moments ago, look at Ethan, one of our camera operators and members of our floor crew. He realized that he was in the shot. That was not planned, right? All of a sudden, Chris Canty is talking. And look at Ethan, who somehow today isn't wearing his Red Sox hat. He wears a Red Sox hat every single day just to aggravate me. But look at him just kind of drop when he... Attaboy, Ethan. That's a good job. How about it?
Way to drop, Ethan.
Done. I don't know why he's not wearing his Red Sox hat today, because he always does, just to aggravate me. But that's one way or the other, that's a good job. That's showing dedication to the cause. Meanwhile, Canty, look what happened here. Wipe it clean, brought to you by Clorox. I think the umpires would like to wipe this situation clean. Yordan Alvarez up to bat against Rich Hill. Alvarez takes strike one, right? Right down the middle. Then he fouls off a pitch. It puts him down 1-2 in the count. Okay, so that one lands. He's down 1-2. The count is 1-2. Next pitch. That is a cold strike, high in the zone. That's a third strike, but no one does anything. They throw another pitch. Now, as it turns out, he grounds out to first, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But what the actual heck just happened here?
It's a conspiracy against the Yankees, Greeny. That's what it always comes down to. They want to give the Astros the benefit of the doubt. Yordan Alvarez is too good of a hitter to get four strikes. It's ridiculous.
In the meantime, speaking of the Yankees, we got the ESPN film seven-part docuseries, The Captain, continuing tonight with episodes 5 and 6, unprecedented look into Derek Jeter's life and career. That's 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Series has been great. If you haven't seen parts 1, 2, 3, and 4, they are available now on ESPN Plus. All right, Miami is our next stop. Tampering and Tua drama in South Florida. We will tell you one move the Dolphins should absolutely make right now. That's next. Why don't you get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, we are back on Get Up and back in the NFL, where the Dolphins and their owner, Stephen Ross, have been charged with tampering in their communication, among other things, with Tom Brady, both in 2019 and 2021. So where does that leave their current quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa? He talked about that yesterday.
I remember I came in 2020, so whatever happened in 2019, I can't even speak on that. So I was here 2020, and I'm still here, and I'm blessed to be here, you know. If it has to do with support from the team, I think the team's all in with me and all the guys that we have now.
Look, whether you're a fan of his or believer in his or not, it kind of feels sorry for him. He has had everything go against him, starting with he was hurt and it was COVID, and the coach thought the owner wanted them to lose games. So there's been a lot of stuff there. Shefty, as we sit back and sort of digest all the stuff that happened with the owner, Stephen Ross, this week, where does it all leave Tua?
Well, somehow the conversation has gone from tanking for Tua to tanking and Tua, and the fact that they had conversations about tanking and tampering cost them a first-round draft pick in the 2023 draft, which once again impacts Tua, because now it's a situation where the Dolphins have less ammunition to go get a quarterback if that's what they want in the draft next spring, because essentially they had one first-round draft pick taken away. So now, look, it comes back to Tua again. He plays well. He worsens the draft position. It's all on him this season. And this is a team that went out and added Tyreek Hill and Cedric Wilson and Teron Armstead and Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds. There's not a team in football that added more offensive talent this offseason than the Miami Dolphins. And so the pressure is on Tua, who they once were willing to tank for, then tried to tank for somebody else and tamper with others to try to get the job done this upcoming season.
So can I ask what I don't think should be as crazy a question as I kind of feel like it is asking it? The injury-prone piece of it is a legitimate concern, and it was going back to his days in college. But the reality is, as Shefty just pointed out, this guy's supposed to be great. Yeah. Is there a chance that he is? That all of a sudden, with all these, this whole thing around him and an offense-minded coach, that the Dolphins actually, and Tua himself, surprise everybody this year and are actually great?
I absolutely think there's a chance, because you listed all the things that were working against Tua, and you left out the biggest thing. That offensive line was
fair
like,
enough.
You put all that on a quarterback, not the turmoil in the organization, the coaching issues that they had there, the offensive line issues that they had there, and the fact that the owner didn't even want you to win for part of your time there. There is a chance that Tua is much better than we've been able to see so far, given the opportunity. But I do know that given the talent they have now, the way they've addressed offensive line, the coaching staff that they have now seems offensively focused. If Tua's not able to put it together this year, then they're going to have to go somewhere else. But to the point that Adam made, they don't have a first-round pick to draft a quarterback or even to use in a trade package to go get a kind of aging veteran that they want to bring in.
Right. They still have San Francisco's first-round pick, but that figures to be, if everyone here is right, that figures to be a very late pick. Canty, what do you think?
No, I'm with Nick on the latter point. It's going to be hard for the Miami Dolphins to position themselves just using the draft capital that they have. But in looking at Tua, there are no excuses as to why he can't have success. And Greeny, you were talking about how you feel bad about him and all of the different things working against him. Here's the other thing that's working against him. The perception of who he is in comparison to Justin Herbert,
right,
the guy that Chris Greer passed on in order to take Tua. Yeah. And so when you start talking about a quarterback being a top five pick, he's going to have to overcome some of the deficiencies on that team. You got to miss me with the offensive line concerns, because Joe Burrow just debunked that. So it's ultimately going to be up to Tua, and he has to definitively prove that he's at least the second best quarterback in his division. Because if you can't beat Mac Jones and Zach Wilson, how can we expect you to beat Justin Herbert, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson? I just don't see it.
I mean, what he says is fair, but these are yet more things that are not within his control, right? I mean, the fact that Justin Herbert went after him, that's not Tua's fault. Now, Mike Tannenbaum continues to take victory laps because he was the one yelling and screaming that Herbert was going to be the better player, and he is. But that doesn't mean that Tua can't still be good, and that Tannenbaum is scolding me in the meeting this morning saying I'm making excuses for him. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, it's all on Tua now. This is a consequential month, and here's why. If he doesn't play well early in preseason, the Dolphins, to their credit, still have one first-round pick, but it's not going to be enough to go up and get one of the prime quarterbacks next year. So they may say, hey, we have a really good team on both sides of the ball. The best opportunity for us to get a consequential quarterback is Jimmy Garoppolo, because when we look at this year, next year, and the draft, this is literally could be their best option. So to me, there is a sense of urgency. He has a great opportunity. But if I'm the Dolphins, I got to keep at least one eye on Jimmy Garoppolo, because he could be their best option, not just short term, but for the years to come.
Go ahead, Shefty, finish it up.
Well, it's a situation, again, where this past week, when the NFL came out and said that the Dolphins tampered with Sean Payton, with Tom Brady, while they're under contract, that was even more motivation in my mind for guys like Mike McDaniel, who didn't have anything to do with that, and for Tua, when they were trying to bring in Tom Brady as a limited partner, an executive, and potentially even as a quarterback. So there's just more people essentially giving these particular individuals more motivation in a season where the Dolphins have to get it done.
And Mike McDaniel, of course, came over from San Francisco, so he knows Jimmy Garoppolo as well as you can know a quarterback. We'll see if that's something that he wants to do.
Tannenbaum called Jimmy Garoppolo a consequential quarterback.
You go, yeah.
I wanted to note it. I wanted to make sure that, I heard that clearly.
He won a lot of games. I mean, I get it. I get it. We're not all believers, but he won a lot of games.
He's won a lot of games.
Fair enough.
The idea that he's some major upgrade, I think, is not fair.
We'll see. Well, we're going to find out. Our next WNBA game is coming your way tonight. The Sun will host Diana Taurasi and the Mercury, 7 Eastern on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. The Sun have clinched a playoff spot. Mercury are fighting for a spot, which is 5 games left in the regular season. Catch all the action tonight on ESPN2. First Take follows us here on ESPN. Should the Dolphins have been punished more for tampering? Plus, is there more pressure on Dak because of all the wide receiver injuries? Neek is headed across the hall to host First Take, top of the hour, here on ESPN.
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 60th Bundesliga season kicks off this weekend, Saturday afternoon. We've got Dortmund taking on Leverkusen, two of the league's top teams. Coverage begins at noon Eastern with a 12:30 kickoff on ABC, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. Before we give way to First Take here, we finish up where we began, our top story of the day in the National Football League, where the league has appealed the six-game suspension for Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, seeking a tougher penalty for violating the personal conduct policy in the wake of the disciplinary officer Sue L. Robinson's ruling. And so as we have continued all morning to try and figure out what this means and what this decision meant, let us now, in the moments we have left, Adam Schefter, spin it forward. What should the fans of football be expecting to happen next?
Well, the NFLPA has 2 days to respond. We await the NFL to decide whether Roger Goodell or his designee will hear this particular case. There you see some of the details. There's no timetable for a ruling in the appeal. But again, Greeny, we want to emphasize, the NFL did not appeal this decision to tack on two more games to the six-game suspension that the judge doled out on Monday. It didn't do this for four more games. It did this because it wants to take Deshaun Watson off the field for the entirety of this season and impose financial penalties as well. The NFL is obviously taking this very seriously, and the NFLPA is going to defend its client and the right by which he has been suspended.
All right, and Mike Tannenbaum, I will remind everyone, not only were you a GM in the league, but you are a lawyer and you teach a class on law, so you understand all of this. What is your expectation as to how exactly this will go forward procedurally starting now?
I think the league will suspend Deshaun Watson indefinitely for the season, and I fully expect the NFLPA to file a lawsuit to enjoin that suspension. They will have to pick where they want to file that lawsuit. They're going to determine which judge will give them the best chance to be successful, much the way Tom Brady was able to do it initially in Boston. And depending on the result of that adjudication, we will go from there. But I think based on the way Adam has summarized everything, this is a long way from being over, because once it gets into the courts, all bets are off.
And to be clear, you're talking about Tom Brady and the Deflategate situation, which initially they got an enjoined, they got a judge who was favorable to them. But as we all know, he wound up serving the four-game suspension. So when all is said and done, and I would never ask anyone to speculate or guess on something of this magnitude, but with your legal expertise in this, Mike, what is your expectation of how it will wind up relative to Watson's ability to play this year?
I think it's overwhelming likelihood that he misses the entire season, because traditionally courts are reticent to interfere with a collectively bargained relationship. And simply, the NFL is going to say, whether the union likes it or not, we had the collectively bargained right to appeal Judge Robinson's decision. And all we did is we stayed within the purview of our agreement. And when we didn't like the decision, we appealed it. And the commissioner ultimately ruled, this is a hypothetical, that he is ineligible to play this season. And typically, judges, Greeny, don't want to interfere with those relationships.
And so Chris Canty, again, is one who played in the league a long time. I've got 45 seconds left. What are your thoughts on where all this goes from here and how it is being handled?
Well, Greeny, I don't know that anybody can tell you exactly what's going to happen from this point. All I'm simply saying is that the NFL is establishing a new precedent when it comes to discipline surrounding issues that pertain to violence toward women. And I'm all here for it. The predatory behavior that was displayed by Deshaun Watson is egregious, and that's why the NFL wants to have a more significant punishment. We just need to make sure that the NFL holds everybody that's a part of their shield to the same standard, and that includes the owners.
And there are some questions as to whether they have historically done that or not. Shefty, Mike T, Chris, and the entire group, outstanding with your insight into all this today. Thank you. Thank you for getting up with us. We will see you again back and better than ever tomorrow. Same time, same place. First Take starts now.